personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast, Aaron and Dow back again. NFL kickoff tomorrow night, and we have a couple of NFL news stories that broke a little earlier today. One of them is we're already getting Baker Mayfield versus the Browns in week one. We're already getting Russell Wilson versus the Seahawks in week one. And now we have learned, it has been confirmed, Joe Flacco faces the Ravens.
Man. Revenge Fest 22 is what it is. Yeah, Joe, what's his friggin' name? Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson, yeah, they mentioned he'll be out until at least week four. He's not on the PUP list, but that's just a coincidence. But he injured his knee in that preseason game. So, yeah, Joe bleeping Flacco. And his Super Bowl ring going up against his old squad with a really not as good squad. Good job, Joe. Or good luck, Joe.
Joe Flacco is going to go down in future years. I think, how long do you think before people misremember him being a quarterback that was like carried to his Super Bowl? Because career-wise, he seems like, oh, if he won a Super Bowl, it must have been because the Ravens' defense
I guess... Maybe it's already happened. I guess I disagree, because I'm not saying for the season, but in the postseason.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said how long before people misremember Joe Flacco?
Oh, okay.
As being carried to his Super Bowl ring.
So you're saying how long is it before they lump him in with Trent Dilfer?
Yes.
That's a good question.
Misremember, because lest we forget, Joe Flacco, career-wise, yes, is a very average NFL quarterback. But for that one shining season, my goodness.
Hey, and it happens. You know, we always seem to reference our favorite teams. Well, Washington in Super Bowl 26.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rippon had the season of his life.
He was the league MVP, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was or not. I can't remember that. But he had the season of his life and never really had anything else close.
Yeah.
But guess what? They won the Super Bowl, so who cares?
You just needed the one. Although, weirdly, no one seems to feel that way about like Nick Foles' magic run. Like, everyone gives Nick Foles credit, which I always thought.
What's up with that? And yet nobody even thinks about Carson Wentz as helping that Eagles team.
Carson Wentz helped my fantasy team that year to levels that are indescribable.
Do you know you know what Carson Wentz needs? He needs a new publicist.
He needs new knees.
Well, but he needs a new publicist too, because supposedly he's done nothing but be a good teammate and be good at his job since he's gotten to Washington, and yet every story is negative. Every story is, this is his last chance. What happened in Indianapolis? What are the things lurking beneath the surface of Carson Wentz? It's like, well, I don't think there's anything lurking. He just, so it seems like somebody like on day one of his professional career, he probably met him. They're like, yeah, hey, you're really going to want a publicist. I have a company. And he's like, nah, I don't need one of those. And then that person, like, has made it their goal to make sure his persona is crap ever since.
You know who Carson Wentz reminds me a lot of? You talk about going back to my own team. But he seems a lot of... He has a bit of Jay Cutler about him. Both in a physical talent standpoint, a gets ripped apart because his decision-making isn't always the best standpoint, and from a, he's actually a well above average quarterback that the media just despises all the time standpoint.
Hmm. Maybe.
He's the Jay Cutler of the next decade.
All right, I'm looking that up because that bothered me.
Oh, the 91 MVP?
It bothered me because I'm like, I don't think so. No, he was the Super Bowl MVP. I remember. No, Thurman Thomas.
Oh, I was going to guess Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas was the league MVP that year. Which is funny because the year before he couldn't find his helmet at the Super Bowl.
No, it was that year. That was versus Washington that he couldn't find his helmet.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, he set it down.
I'm sorry, yeah.
He set it down right. after he did his stretches, and then they came out and they put up the stage for the...
Yeah, even to this day, he blames, like, Huey Lewis in the News or whatever.
They did the national anthem, so someone of the stage crew moved his helmet.
Or so he says.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're the only one that couldn't find their helmet, Thurman.
He's probably the only one that just left it there.
I don't know. But anyway, now we've cleared that up.
Yeah, so only Thurman Thomas had played that one extra drive of the game that he missed, surely Buffalo doesn't lose by 16 points.
It'd be fun to like have a sitcom or some kind of TV show where someone's life gets off on the wrong foot because they made a wager on who was going to start at the Super Bowl, and they put all of their money on Thurman Thomas. And then he didn't. Wouldn't that be funny? And then for the last 30 years, he has a grudge against Thurman Thomas. And then if the show got really popular, Thurman could come on. Kind of like with the Big Bang Theory, when he hated Will Wheaton. They had like a... Anyway. Can we Thurman... Anyway. I'm just spitballing. Hey, there's a lot crappier show ideas out there than that.
Yeah, pretty much any cartoon that has been made in the United States over the last, I don't know, 10 years? Maybe it's shorter. I don't know what it was. The Simpsons was good. Family Guy was good when it started. And then they've just hit stinker after stinker after stinker in the, I guess you'd call it the adult cartoon. See, why is it that... I don't even watch any of them, but all I see is clips on, like, Twitter and YouTube. And every time I think, this is the unfunniest thing I have ever witnessed. Are there people that watch this show?
One of my favorite comedians is Bill Burr. Mm-hmm. Bill Burr, if you hear this, you're awesome. come on our show. Actually, I don't think our insurance covers having Bill Burr on the show. But he uses... one of his stand-up, he talks about people who hang around too long. And he uses Walt Disney as a perfect example. And he's like, he was a known anti-Semite, but nobody cares because he died in 1972. So, yeah, Bill Burr, he's awesome. But same thing, Simpsons, Family Guy, you stuck around too long.
Mm.
You've aged out. Well, what's crazy about The Simpsons, that was considered quite edgy. When it was new. I was a teenager, and we thought it was fantastic. And now it's like this conduit for woke crap. Oh, now we have to have this type of character on, and this type of character needs representation.
Although, I'll at least give them credit, because it was a few years ago. Again, I
know
I didn't
where you're going with this.
I didn't watch the episode, but I've seen the clip on YouTube where they did a fantastic skit on Mr. Burns Goes to Yale.
Oh, that is...
On a trip where he's thinking about donating money to his alma mater, yeah, and sees what Yale has become.
And they're all offended by everything that he says.
You're worse than Hitler. Too late for flattery. I'm not giving this place a dime.
You're right. That was a good scene. That was a good scene. All right. I had no idea where you were going. I thought I did.
I really enjoyed... That is the last time I think I belly laughed... At The Simpsons, unfortunately.
But the big news is there's freaking football this week, and there's football starting Thursday, as you mentioned.
Yeah, tomorrow, one of the tight ends, by the way, is going to be a little bit higher paid than he was yesterday.
Yeah, that came out today. Dawson Knox signing a four-year deal, $50 million-plus with the Bills, $31 million guaranteed. And that tells you right there, they're pretty stinking high on Dawson Knox.
I mean, I'm high on Dawson Knox. I think he's one of the more underrated tight ends in the league.
I agree, but I think he's getting this payday a little early, I guess is what I'm saying.
I won't give Buffalo too much crap.
I'm not going to either.
For deciding, you know what? How about instead of being ruthless business people, we just reward a good player for being good for us?
You know, it actually looks, it'll look good down the road if he turns into what they think he's trending into.
I mean, even if he just stays at what he was the last 2 years
yeah.
with Diggs, and now I'm pretty high on the season. I think what's his name? He's on two of my fantasy teams.
Gabriel Davis.
Davis. There we go. Oh, such a forgettable last name.
I really think. But the Bills have been out in front. In fact, this was interesting. You know, you had this whole quarterback derby going on the last couple of years, getting these huge $250 million contracts. And after this last one, Russell Wilson and these guys, they signed, they showed top five quarterbacks' annual salary after this last wave. Josh Allen's not on that list.
No, I believe Mahomes is, what is he, third now?
Probably third, yeah. And he's made, and he signed a $500 million
deal. I thought when Mahomes signed that, I belly laughed at the Chiefs. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, he is that good, but it doesn't matter now because now you've paid him, you know, that much money, and now he's not going to have any teammates for the rest of time. And then the salary cap went up twice, and now he's the third highest paid quarterback in football, and I think, oh.
Well, Josh Allen is one of the favorites for the MVP this year, and I think he's like seventh on that list now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so it's still a ridiculous amount of money. Let's just be, you know, let's be honest. It's ridiculous. But as far as where he's being paid in the league, he is outperforming his contract already, and it's only been 2 years. So
did you hear Russell Wilson intentionally took about $15 million in a pay cut? Specifically so that Denver could afford to keep more players.
That's a
smart move. He did this, by the way, about a week after Denver had to cut their punter because the punter wouldn't take a pay cut because Russell Wilson's contract was too big. And they lose the punter first. Then Russell Wilson says, oh, hold on. Here, let me fix that.
Well, it's smart because, I mean, okay, so who has the most Super Bowl rings in history? Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did Tom Brady do that?
All of them.
All the time. He took a pay cut lower than what the market value of him several times. Several times he restructured his contract after he signed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, he has seven Super Bowl rings. Funny how that works.
And amazingly, and I get to, it's my job to rag on him with every opportunity available. Aaron Rodgers gets payday after payday after payday every time his contract extends. Every single time Aaron Rodgers has renegotiated a contract, he has become the highest paid quarterback in football. Then it gets topped.
Which is probably part of the whole language of their contract, because he really seems like he has an ego for that.
And just so we're clear, you know, I hear there's this select group that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is actually the greatest quarterback of all time. He's got so much talent. Well, you know what? This is why when people say, yeah, but no rings, and then the retort is, well, it's a team sport. You can't blame Rodgers for his teammate. Well, you can, actually, because it's Aaron Rodgers' own fault. He doesn't have any teammates.
Well, on the flip side of that is, I mean, you could make the argument that if you're going to go that direction, that Dan Marino is the greatest quarterback of all time. But
Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers are similar, with the difference being,
I'm
of
not
course,
saying
Rodgers.
That.
I know.
But what I'm saying is the first, second, and third boxes you have to check for greatest of all time is championships. Then you can start talking about other stuff.
But to an extent.
Rodgers does not have enough championships.
Because I've heard some Steelers fans try to convince me Terry Bradshaw belongs in the top 10.
Well, honestly, before the last 20 years, they could make that argument.
His touchdown interception ratio is about 1-1.
Yeah, it's not very good. But I will also say this. Name a modern quarterback who could have taken the beating that Terry Bradshaw did in his career.
Well,
none.
Maybe
one or two.
You want to tell me Cam Newton couldn't just sit there and take beating after beating?
I don't think so. Not with that equipment. Not with the 70s equipment.
Oh, see, I spent Cam Newton's entire career joking that I'm like, wow, the NFL really hates Cam Newton. This man can't buy a penalty to save his life, and he just has to keep getting up and throwing.
See, I think Terry Bradshaw is actually a genius-level intellect, but he only gets to communicate on an average level because he's had 50 IQ points knocked out of his head because of his career.
Wasn't it Hollywood Henderson? With the infamous...
Name which... It doesn't even matter.
No, name... With the infamous... right before the second Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowl. And you want to talk about... Not even to be alive for that Super Bowl. I would have loved to be alive for the build-up. And I don't even like either of those franchises. Because all the stories that come out of how the Steelers and Cowboys players from the 70s used to just chirp, chirp, chirp. But my Hollywood Henderson going on the Today Show to talk to whoever it was that was the lead interviewer at the time, and on national TV said, you know, I'm feeling pretty confident about this rematch. They still got Terry Bradshaw over there calling their plays, and he can't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the T.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Well, I remember reading it. I remember that. As a league story. I don't remember.
And then they played what you could argue, probably not anymore just because of, you know, the number of games of recent vintage that came down to the wire and had such phenomenal finishes, but on star power and the fact that it was one of the first real close Super Bowls, was at one point the greatest Super Bowl ever. They come out and they play 35-31.
Yeah, and
back and forth.
And Terry Bradshaw was in Cannonball Run, so good luck. Good luck. I'm just saying he has some ammo in his ammo belt. Let's move on, though. Just exciting to have football back because, let's be honest, it's the best. So we've talked about Joe Flacco versus the Ravens and that whole thing.
You know, I think we've hit most of the stories from the week. So should we jump into... what's going to be our newest segment each week, Dal?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know if you've made your picks yet.
I have.
Okay.
I told you I would, and I did.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were going to make them like live on the air or just tell people what they were, because I also made mine this morning already.
Well, I'm not logged in, so I can tell people.
Oh, my bad. I thought that's what we would do on the show, is we would put our picks out there for the public knowledge.
I think
that
I
they can keep score as well.
I think I can just remember.
Okay. Now, I feel sad, though, because when I made the picks, it didn't give me the Yahoo people that play in Yahoo Pick'em. It gives you the percentage across the country of everyone that plays of who picks each team.
Oh, okay.
Those weren't available when I made my picks, and now I'm seeing that I only made one pick this week where I disagree with the majority.
Yeah, but
I feel so dirty now.
I think I was pretty much... I went pretty favorite heavy as well.
I like to pick at least one or two personal upsets every week that I feel confident in, because that's how I feel like I always gain points on people.
Well, and that happens. I mean, that stuff happens too. So, but the key is to not do what you do at the NCAA tournament and pick the upset in every... You know... You don't pick like 10 of them.
No, yeah, I try to pick my one or two for every given. I remember my prize jewel was back in like 2018 or 2019. The Chiefs were playing Seattle in Seattle, and I picked the Seahawks, and I was in like a 33-man league with cash on the line. 32 people got that game wrong. I picked Seattle and was the only one that was right. They knocked off the Mahomes Chiefs at home, and I went,
speaking
that's
of which,
a way to catch up.
Speaking of which, we forgot about our revenge tour talk. I'm just seeing this. I overlooked this. Russell Wilson is at Seattle.
No, I did mention that.
You did mention that?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
that was the second of
Aaron
the
misses nothing. All right, let's move on.
So, right off the bat, Thursday Night Football, Buffalo's in L.A. I saw a little earlier. The rest of them don't have the spreads available, but they do have the percentages, I guess. Buffalo... on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions.
Their favorite.
Is a favorite by 2.5 points.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
And I picked them.
I picked them too. And I was going to pick them no matter what, just because personal preference, I don't like the Rams. It's Los Angeles. How could I possibly cheer for and pick? Those two places could not be more different. Rural New York State and downtown Los Angeles. Yeah.
You want to talk about, though, you were talking earlier about some tough quarterbacks. We got a pair of tough quarterbacks in this game.
That's true. Obviously, Josh Allen, I love that guy. And anybody who spends 12 years in Detroit.
Not just in Detroit. I'm sure you're, I mean, you're a big football fan. NFL Network never stopped showing it, even though it was a classic great game. It was between two teams that finished with a combined 3 wins that season. But has everyone seen the clip of Matthew Stafford throwing the game-winning touchdown pass with 3 broken ribs against Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a tough dude. Oh, I just received a meme from my brother. The Dallas Cowboys have just been officially eliminated from the playoffs.
That's fantastic. My father will be so pleased to know this.
All right, so we both picked Buffalo
we did.
For the Thursday night game. And that game, holy cow, anybody who's even got a small amount of football interest is going to watch that game.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
A lot of viewership going to be on that one.
That was, would you argue? Now, granted, Cincinnati beat Kansas City. Cincinnati could have beaten Buffalo, too.
Yeah.
But there is a certain mental gymnastic a person could do to say this was 13 seconds away from being the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, I don't think that's too much of a stretch. And I, especially if you're a Buffalo fan, they just chalk that up to one more wedgie, one more historical sports wedgie.
I'm still baffled by the fact that Leslie Frazier was a member of the 85 Bears. And his defensive scheme with the game on the line was rush 2 guys, everyone play 30 yards back.
he's not Buddy Ryan.
Then this one scares me a little bit because it was nearly one of my upset picks for the week. New Orleans at Atlanta. Atlanta screams in every capacity to the casual fan, they should get slapped around, right?
It almost screams rebuild.
However, New Orleans and Atlanta, now right now neither of them is all that. I mean, New Orleans might be a playoff team, but they're not great. So you might say Tampa and New Orleans, but historically speaking, this is the rivalry of the NFC South. It's in Atlanta, and it's week 1, and you have a new quarterback that they didn't really show off too much, Mariota. How is he going to fit in the Atlanta offense? I think he's going to be perfectly fine. This shouts at the top of its lungs in my brain that it has the potential to be one of those weird week 1 games where a team that's going to win 4 games beats a playoff team and beats them by like 20 in week 1. Because there seems to be at least one of those every year.
All right, so
I picked New Orleans anyway.
Okay, so,
and I'm so terrified.
And see, I gave this game a little bit of thought, like you're saying. It's week 1, and they're the home team. I guess I feel like New Orleans defense is going to be the difference here. The Falcons, I don't think, have enough weapons. I don't think Mariota can carry that team, which is the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm
now, I like some of Atlanta's offensive way. I think Cordarrelle Patterson is underrated. I like
him a lot, too.
I think Drake London is a very talented young receiver, but I think going up against Marshawn Lattimore and the New Orleans Saints is not the best way to start off your NFL career.
Yeah.
And obviously Kyle Pitts is a very talented tight end. But like you said, New Orleans has an answer for each and every one of those. I picked New Orleans on brain. My heart is worried. That's all I'm going to say. I'm fearful.
I don't have any worries
of this upset. 49ers at Chicago. I picked the 49ers. Yeah.
Hope you're proud of yourself.
I am wearing Bears shoes, Bears socks, a Bears hoodie, and underneath it, a Chicago Bears t-shirt. So, Dal, please confirm for the viewers at home.
You are. So,
all those things.
So in
I'm
other
picking
words,
the 49ers.
In other words, you're a fraud.
As much as I will cheer for the Chicago Bears with all my heart, I am not what you'd call the most optimistic sports fan you've ever met. And I am... We are clearly not the more talented roster of these two teams. I'll say that. Now, the one thing Chicago might have going for them, it's at home. No one has seen the Luke Getsy offense yet, at least according to the Bears. So we don't. Apparently, everything in the preseason, we were just getting the the five training camp install plays, and we'll unleash the real offense in week one.
You could
make
the same argument about the Niners. I mean,
well, yes.
I mean, what do we really know about Trey Fields?
Trey Lance.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Justin Fields, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
What do we really know about Trey Lance?
All we saw were the packages they used him for last year.
Haven't seen anything.
Yeah, so we'll find out. It could be this could be one of those.
It really could. I still want the Niners, though.
I also picked the 49ers. Moving right along, Mitchell Trubisky, named the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers and a team captain.
That's now, saying something.
I watched Mitch for 4 years. Most of America was not impressed with Mitch Trubisky on the Chicago Bears.
I thought he was fine.
I thought he was a perfectly adequate quarterback, but he was not. They moved on from him because
they wanted someone worse.
I guess there comes a certain point when you do say, okay, we have Alex Smith here. We have Josh McCown, a perfectly fine quarterback. Do we just accept what we have and try to build a perfect roster around them? Or do we take the gamble, get rid of this known, and try to swing for the fences and see if we can't snag an elite quarterback instead? That's the direction they tried to go.
They're still in mid-swing. Yeah. So, to me, it doesn't matter. They're home, coming off the Super Bowl, a lot of upgrades.
Oh, I picked Cincinnati.
I'm going Bengals here.
Not only that, but the Bengals swept Pittsburgh last year, and they blew them out twice. Oh, and you know what? Tyler Boyd really loves playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I have T. Higgins in one of my fantasy leagues. I'm worried that I'm not going to get many Higgins points in week one because Ja'Marr Chase is going to get Ja'Marr Chase points because he just is because he's Ja'Marr Chase. And this is a Pittsburgh game, so Tyler Boyd is naturally going to have 100 yards. So that doesn't leave enough for Higgins to get anything. So.
Well, unless Burrow has one of his 500-yard games.
Everyone gets at least a touchdown. Come on.
You get a touchdown.
Oh, but what I was going to say, the one thing that no one in Chicago ever questioned about Mitch, he is a leader. He's a confident leadership style personality.
So one of my favorite memes from the week. Now, this was not a cartoon I watched, but are you familiar with the cartoon Arthur?
I am.
And there's a meme where it just shows him clenching his fist and he's angry.
Yes.
I saw a meme that says showed Kenny Pickett when it shows that
Mitch Trubisky
and then Mason Rudolph is one and two, and it's that meme. But then the person has shrunk Arthur's hand size down to like a third of its normal size because Kenny Pickett supposedly
has tiny hands.
That's just it made me laugh. It made me laugh. Philadelphia at Detroit.
This one was not difficult for me.
Me either. I went with the Eagles.
They're on the road. I am picking the Eagles in this game.
I went with the Eagles. I'm cheering for the Lions. I think there's always teams I think get too much love in the offseason, and I think that's the Eagles this year. I think there's been way too much stroking of their ego this offseason.
I really like the Philadelphia Eagles defense. I think it'll rank top five this season. However, where I differ with the national media is that they're under the impression that Jalen Hurts is going to take this big leap, and that's why their offense is going to be good, is that now that he's A.J. Brown, he'll be an elite quarterback.
Yeah, he's not.
He is not. He is Mitchell Trubisky.
In fact, I think I'd rather have Mitchell Trubisky.
Still, their defense too good. So Detroit doesn't have the talent.
So far,
Eagles.
So far, we've agreed on every pick. That's not very exciting.
That's not very sportsman.
Coming up next, maybe this will be different. Ooh, that reminds me. I got to go find that. All right, New England at Miami.
I am taking the Miami Dolphins despite my hatred of Tua Tagovailoa.
Finally, we disagree.
Ah.
We disagree.
New England just has this bad habit of having a weird struggle in Miami. They can't win in Miami.
They do, and I can't explain that. But
Bill Belichick's hoodie gets him all sweaty by halftime.
I still went with the Patriots and Bill Belichick because I think this is going to be one of those who's better coached games. And
particularly in week one, by the way. Yeah. Miami kind of owns New England on opening day.
Well, maybe I'm just dead wrong.
That's
then.
Wild.
But I did go with the Patriots.
All right. Well, I'm going to take Miami. I think they've got a more talented roster. We'll see if that's enough to combat Bill Belichick's superior strategic mind. Moving right along to the Joe Flacco revenge game. Dal, does Joe Flacco get his revenge?
No.
No. No, he does not.
Because he's playing with the Jets. Baltimore is one of those teams that missed the playoffs. They've been pounded by the injury bug the last 12 months. It's still going, by the way.
J.K. Dobbins is probably not suiting up.
But I still think they've got plenty to take care of the Jets.
They could send out their preseason roster and have enough to take on the Jets. At least a close finish. Maybe win on a Justin Tucker field goal. But as it stands, I'm going to go Ravens by, I don't know, 27?
Ravens by 27?
That's what I'm going to go with.
Holy moly. I don't know what the score is going to be, but like the Ravens are going to win and win handily.
I literally don't know what the spread is, but I don't care. I'd put it all on the Ravens plus anything. I don't care. Or minus anything, I guess. Then your Washington Commanders hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we're going to see Trevor Lawrence in year two. Hey, Jacksonville spent all this money. Surely his receiving core is better, right? I heard...
I was not a sportsman like you.
You've been wanting to play that clip on this show for...
I have.
800 years. But yeah, so Jacksonville went out. They got Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, and Evan Ingram. And they spent a king's ransom to get him.
And again, here's another team that for whatever reason, well, I guess I know the reason. They have been just showered with praise. Let's be honest. The best thing Jacksonville did was they got rid of Urban Meyer. It's not even close. They needed to get rid of Urban Meyer. He was a cancer for that franchise. And they did very well to bring in Doug Peterson, who I thought the Eagles got rid of him way too early.
Apart from the fact that there was the controversy of did he lose a game on purpose to finish up a season.
I still... He won you your freaking Super Bowl.
He did do that.
And you were in Philadelphia. If it wasn't for him, you'd still be cheering Rocky Balboa.
I was always under
champion.
The impression that his firing from Philadelphia was an ethical decision rather than a coaching decision.
I don't know what it was, but it was a mistake. Anyway, so yeah, they are going to be better because they upgraded their coaching stuff by 100%.
The problem is they massive air quotes upgraded their wide receiver and core, and they did. Problem is not by much, and it cost them like $90 million.
Yeah. Well, because that's all they have. They have no other way to try and get someone to Jacksonville other than overpaying him.
You could just not get Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram and Marvin Jones.
And not only that,
then.
They wrecked the wide receiver free agent market with that signing.
By the way, just so we're clear, Marvin Jones and Christian Kirk got paid out the wazoo. My boy Will Fuller, who I still think the Bears should give a one-year prove-it deal to, just to help Fields a little bit. Still just sitting out there on the market.
Yeah, this is actually a game that this is where my goggles get in the way.
I picked Washington.
Because I am... first off, if you can't be optimistic about your team coming into week one, then they're really crappy. And I know that happens. But I even talked myself into Washington could be good, like in Jay Gruden's last season. I had convinced myself, hey, this could happen and this. And they might... No. I guess I'm convinced. I think Washington... is a sleeper team. They haven't had a 30 touchdown quarterback since Sonny Jurgensen. And they are projected, at least stats project Wentz to have a 30 touchdown plus
he usually
season.
Does.
Yeah, exactly. They've never had that. Anyway, I feel like
I think Washington is a winning record caliber team right now.
Which if you have a winning record, you're in the discussion
in the new expanded
for the playoffs.
You're in there. Anyway, Jacksonville, I see as they're going to scratch and claw their way to four wins.
I just I feel like, and again, that doesn't mean Jacksonville couldn't come in and just thump Washington, because they could.
It's week one.
It's week one, and it's the NFL. But I feel like Washington's going to be ready to roll, and let's be honest, no one's really talked about this much. I think for all the crap that Ron Rivera has had to deal with as the head coach, I do think he is on a little bit of a short leash with some of his fan base, because Washington's first two games are Jacksonville and Detroit. Now, there's no guarantees in the NFL, but if Washington looks bad in these first two games, that is a real red flag, because let's be honest, those are games that they, on paper right now with the roster they have and what's coming back, they should be favored in both of those games to start 2-0, which would be rare for modern Washington. So yeah, I picked them.
We get to start the opposite. We get the NFC championship contending 49ers, and then in week two we get Green Bay.
Yeah.
In Green Bay.
Well, see, Washington had the first place schedule last year because they had inexplicably won the conference the year before with a 7-9 record. I think Washington, but I admit I'm totally blind. I'm going to show up at my brother's house with my new Commander's hat on and my Russ Grimm Redskins jersey, and maybe they just crap the bed. I don't know.
Well, I'm picking them to win because their opponent is Jacksonville.
Maybe they pull an Amber Heard, which is what it's called now, right?
Ugh.
Maybe not.
Or perhaps they could not, I suppose.
Aaron looks disgusted. I think that's funny. That's the thing we've talked about that disgusts you the most?
Ugh.
All right, moving on.
Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So we both pick Washington. Yeah. Carolina hosting Cleveland.
I am taking Baker Mayfield.
Me too.
I picked Carolina. I think Jacoby Brissett looked atrocious in his last preseason game. I think Cleveland is a better team. I think they have a better roster. I think we're going to have to wait a few weeks to see it, because they did not look crisp at all in their warm-up game. Sometimes that means nothing. If I get burned by it, so be it. But man, did they look bad in the preseason.
I think the Cleveland...
And Mayfield did not.
I think the Cleveland ownership took the football gods collectively, put them in the stocks, and then went and found a 50-gallon drum and filled it up with pig slop from the dirtiest, stinkiest pig pen they could find. And then they just threw it in the face of all the football gods for the entire offseason. There is no freaking way they are winning this game. There is so much stench and bad karma
and you know
on
what's
Cleveland
amazing?
Right now.
I bet Cleveland still ends sub 500, like around 500, absolutely. Or with a winning record.
There's no way they have a winning record.
Oh, no, I think Cleveland might still scratch and claw their way to 8 or 9 wins.
I think they're going to be absolutely terrible.
And I bet Carolina wins 4 games max. And Carolina's going to win this game.
I'd say maybe 6. But yeah, Carolina's winning this game. and there's going to be something or things that happen during the game that you're going to go, oh, Dow had a point with that gods thing. It's going to be like some inexplicable thing bouncing the way of the Panthers, maybe even several, because the football gods hate Cleveland's ownership right now, as well they should.
To be fair,
they are absolutely unconscionable what they did this offseason.
The quote-unquote football gods have seemed to have a thing out for Cleveland even before they were raunchily owned. So,
and maybe that was their whole point. It's like they've been screwing us anyway.
One day you will do Baker Mayfield dirty and sign Deshaun Watson. So guess who gets to fumble at the 2-yard line?
It's not
line?
Even that. It's how they did it. They traded away all their picks. They give a guaranteed contract to a guy with that kind of history and back record. It's just absolutely garbage. I think even hardcore Cleveland fans will have a hard time cheering for Cleveland in week one.
By the way, speaking of old things that went wrong for Cleveland, I watched the game replay of the drive because it was on NFL Network for no reason. Just for fun. You know what they never add as controversy to that game? Didn't Denver clearly miss that field goal at the end, and the refs just said, you know what, nah, it's good.
Yeah, they were like, it's close enough.
Yeah, yeah, like that ball, I don't think that was inside the upright. It went over the uprights.
Yeah.
I don't think it was inside.
Hey, that's why you pay refs to sit there and look at it and look straight up and say, yep, it's in, or nope, it's not.
Like, we don't talk about that nearly enough in the annals of NFL history, that I think they missed that field goal. Anyhow, moving on. And by the way, this is the last of the noon games for this week. And may I just point out a little special something about the noon games? I don't know if everyone else watches football, just whatever the national games are, and you just watch it. I am an avid red zone viewer. Are you more of a one game at a time viewer, or do you prefer the red zone experience?
I move around based on like teams that we like better than others.
Mm.
So yeah, we don't necessarily do a lot of the red zone stuff.
Oh, I always have the Bears game because I have that direct the Sunday ticket thing. So I have the Bears on one channel, and then I put Red Zone on, and I'll flip back and forth. And if the Bears game gets out of hand, I just stay on Red Zone. Or, occasionally, now that I'm in the new house and my bedroom is very close to the living room, perhaps I'll just put it on two different TVs and stand in the hallway.
I can see Aaron like putting a mirror somewhere in a strategic place. He's like, ooh, now I have another screen. Now I have a double screen.
But yeah, I love watching Red Zone. Part of it is because fantasy football, I just enjoy keeping up with all my players at the same time and just watching all the game. I just love it. And the experience of, now, since I moved out here, church gets out around noon and Red Zone here kicks off at 11. Back yeah. when I lived in the Central Time, it was perfect. Church let out, you come home, yep. Red Zone starts. So now I have to turn my phone off every Sunday so that no one sends me notifications or texts.
First world problems.
Yeah, and I watch the recording. So I'm always an hour behind the real world. Hmm. But there's nothing.
This is good to know. I could really cause you some strife and angst here.
How dare you? My phone will be off on Sundays.
Or will it? Maybe you forget.
Anyhow, so the feeling I get, especially week one when it's back, of, all right, church is done, say hi to everyone, shake everyone's hand, you come back home, you undress, you get into your nice, casual, lounging attire. For me, you got to put on whichever Bears jersey they happen to be wearing that week. I have one for each of their jerseys, so I have a blue, a white, an orange. A 30s throwback, a 40s throwback.
Interesting.
So I put on the appropriate jersey, I sit down, and I start Red Zone. And it's like nirvana just overcomes me. I say, this is better than vacation.
You found the right woman, let's put it that way.
This is week one Red Zone.
She seems to like sports and, and you a little bit.
She yeah. tolerates me so that she can get to the sports.
Yeah, that's even better. going to the afternoon games, another team I think is going to be just dog mess bad this year is the New York Giants.
Oh, we skipped Colts Texans.
Oh,
speaking
did.
Of dog
I'm
bad,
sorry.
Poor Lovie Smith.
Hey,
he's losing this game.
He has a job.
Hey, he does have a job. I meant obviously.
Yeah. You and I are making peanuts, and we're saying, poor Lovie Smith.
Yeah, not financially poor Lovie Smith, but
he's doing
as someone
just fine.
That loves Lovie Smith.
I like him, too.
It is unfortunate that he must coach the Houston Texans.
But there
but
it
hey,
is.
If they exceed expectations, then we can all clap and cheer for Lovie Smith.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
They won't week one, though. No. Unfortunately, Lovie Smith has a tendency of losing to the Colts.
And the Colts are fully healthy. They're gonna roll. And they have Matt Ryan.
As my eye twitches like I'm having a Vietnam flashback, but as Lovie Smith loses another game to the Colts.
Yeah, here it comes.
Yeah, at least this one's not in Miami in February.
That's true. New York Giants, they're going to be awful.
Although, if you just didn't know what football was, a battle between the Titans and the Giants would sound like quite
yeah,
the event.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Titans are, because they have... At least on paper.
The parents of the gods, I believe.
At least on paper, they've fallen a lot in the last 6 months. They were the number one overall seed in the AFC.
They got burrowed.
They get burrowed in the first round.
Hey, and Logan Wilson.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give it to you.
They lose one of their best receivers. Landry, one of their best defenders, tore his ACL last week. He's out.
Although I will say, they lose A.J. Brown. I was, coming out of college. Apparently there were reports when he started training camp that Treylon Burks was pretty out of shape. Though then those reports seemed to just vanish, like, after a week. So I don't know if that was just he showed up and he threw up on day one or something, and, oh, he's out of shape.
It's hard to tell, because remember the first preseason week last year, Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch. Remember that?
and I'll just say this. I'm not saying that I'm in anywhere near the shape Treylon Burks is probably in. I bet he has more abs than is scientifically possible. He's an NFL wide receiver. I really like Treylon Burks. I thought he was awesome in college. I think he's going to be a perfectly suitable A.J. Brown replacement. As for the reports that he was out of shape in training camp, I'll just say this. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know what it was. Not one single year from age 8 to my senior year of college, without fail, first day of training camp, I threw up. Every time.
Yeah.
For...
It's tradition.
Whatever. 15 straight years of early August vomit.
That's your autobiography right there.
That's what I'm going to title it. Speaking of vomit, yeah, the New York Giants, are going to lose this football game.
They are... Coach Dable, you should have stayed with the Bills, because it's going to be a fun year. Now your year, not going to be so fun. I think Mike Vrabel and the Titans are ready for the Giants in week one. I'm going Titans on that as well.
I think every single team in the league would be ready for the New York Giants.
This next one, we may disagree on this one.
I'm sure we do.
Well, I don't know. Green Bay at Minnesota.
This is the only one I picked this week where the majority of the country is voting against me. And I said, only one? I feel so ashamed. I'm such a casual now. What's wrong with me?
So which way did you go?
I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings.
So did I.
Oh.
And I went with them because I guess I feel like the Packers have too many questions. I am tired of everybody glossing over the issues the Packers have just because they have Aaron Rodgers. I'm tired of that. I think they lose this week, and I think some fissures will be evident.
Well, and you know, Green Bay has dominated this division for most of Aaron Rodgers' career. He dominates Detroit. He dominates Chicago. You know the one team that does give him some troubles, though? It's usually a split, but he's been swept a couple of times. Minnesota.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, Minnesota tends to have Aaron Rodgers. They usually get at least a split, even when they're worse than Green Bay. And whenever Minnesota's better, they sweep them.
I think Minnesota has a legitimate chance to win this division.
Picked them to win this division.
So, yeah, I went with the Vikings as well, even though...
Michael Irvin picked Kirk Cousins to win league MVP.
Even though it's a completely offensive nickname. It is.
Okay, Mr. Erickson.
It's stereotypical. It's overgeneralized.
Listen, I root for the Fighting Irish, okay?
I'm not being serious, but you can see my point.
Speaking of entirely...
Hey, not every Scandinavian does that kind of stuff.
So we're both picking the Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we only have one difference of opinion on this week.
We're not done yet.
And I don't even remember what it was. Oh, it was Dolphins-Patriots.
Kansas City and Arizona. Yeah. Obviously, I'm picking Kansas City here.
Oh, man, the Cardinals sure did flop hard at the end of last year, didn't they?
Well, and not only that, whenever you have this whole off-season drama that the Cardinals had with
Tyreek
Kyler Murray.
Tyreek Hill says that he wakes up every morning thinking about the Chiefs and how to prove them wrong.
But I just, I look at the Cardinals and I just, there's smoke there. And where there's smoke, there's fire.
The smoke, with the burning blaze underneath it, is that Cliff Kingsbury is not a good head coach.
He may not be.
He had a losing record in college, got a head coaching job in the NFL for no reason, and is a losing record as an NFL head coach.
And I don't think Kyler Murray deserves the money he's getting.
That also is a thing.
I think he is too fragile, and that is going to play out at some point very soon.
Kyler Murray is one of those quarterbacks where he has the ability to just wow you on any given play. But boy, does he need to start doing that with more regularity.
Probably the most, at least on paper, the most competitive game. This is the one probably that I didn't know how to pick the most of the whole.
Oh, this game's going to rock.
Vegas at the Chargers.
This game is going to go so hard.
I think this is the one people are going to watch in the afternoon, occasionally maybe flipping over to Green Bay, Minnesota. But I look at this matchup, and I did vacillate back and forth. I wasn't sure who to go with. And in my mind and in my history, when I'm like that and I have that feeling, I go with the home team. And so the home team this
there
week,
is no home team in this one.
Well,
you'll get my joke once you...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, it's in Inglewood. So I went with the Chargers, but I don't feel confident in the least.
Oh, I picked the Chargers. I think this has the potential to be... Do you remember the Chargers game against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football last year?
Yep.
This could absolutely be that. This game is going to go so hard, and I'm going to love it. These two teams fought in the finale of last year's regular season to this close to being a tie. They were a blade of grass from tying that game, and instead the Raiders won, went to the playoffs. The Chargers are going to come out. They've armed themselves with a bit of a Mac attack. They've got the Bosa on the other side. They've got Mac and Bosa. I think the Chargers have just a little bit more firepower behind them. They're going to win this game. Their defense is going to be just a little bit better than the Raiders' defense. They're going to make one or two plays, a strip sack here, a big takeaway there. One is going to decide this game. Chargers take it.
What's interesting about this matchup and just the way things are in week one, I mean, you look at Buffalo and the Rams, which is coming up on the Thursday night game.
That game's going to go so hard.
That's a big game, and it's fun and it's exciting, but it doesn't mean anything to their division or anything like that. This game does. Week one, Vegas, I mean, the Raiders and the Chargers, I mean, you lose this game and you might be fighting up in the division the entire season. And which you really don't want to necessarily be doing. It's just funny to me that some teams get to kind of ease into the season, i.e. Washington, Jacksonville. I mean, even if Washington loses that game, I mean, yeah, people will be like, oh, that sucks. But if
they lose that game, I think the problem will lie less in, oh, no, we're 0-1. It's more, oh, my God, we lost to Jacksonville.
Exactly. But this is a divisional game. And most of these other matchups, it's not how it's going to be. Especially that division.
And now we get Bills-Rams to kick off the season. My prediction is that Chargers-Raiders is game of the week for week one. I'll put a little star by it.
I would not be surprised at all.
I think it's gonna bang.
But we both went Chargers.
We did. Then the Tampa Bay Bradys are in Dallas for a rematch of last year's season opener.
The Gronkless Bradys, though, at least for now. at least till week 10.
Yeah, we don't know what's up with Brady's personal life, the big mysterious deal. There's
rumors he's in a big fight with his wife.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is the dumbest non-story I've ever heard. He's married. Of course he's in a fight with his wife.
I can't help it, though. Tom Brady could be having whatever personal issues he could possibly want. He's facing the Dallas Cowboys in a rematch of last year.
He's at the star.
He's
going to
be ready. The Buccaneers are going to win this game.
And he's going to be ready.
Yeah.
He's not going to go into Dallas and not perform. And then, I'll be honest, Aaron, I am kind of disappointed of this Monday matchup. I mean,
we only got one this year. What the heck?
It's not a very good one.
No, this is... You watch this game because you're down by 10 and you have someone on Denver on your fantasy team.
Well, and it's football and it's week one and you're and you're going to finish watching dang football.
I was about to say, I have the problem that I actually get made fun of by other football fans for this. Of I don't actually miss a game. Like when they're like, oh, hey, come on out. We're doing something this Thursday. And I'm like, oh, I can't. Going to watch the football game. And they're like, it's Jets Jaguars. You're going to watch that? Yes. By rule. It is an NFL game and it is on my television.
So it's either going to be Geno Smith or Drew Locke.
It was, I believe, already confirmed to be Geno.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Hold your nose, man. That is just Russell Wilson. That
it's But
just,
for those of you that have Russell Wilson in fantasy.
But this is the exact opposite of the Carolina-Cleveland game in that it's at the revenge site. Or it's at the team that got rid of the player.
Yeah, and
so everyone in the stands in Seattle is going to just be sitting there watching this game wishing Russell Wilson was still their quarterback.
I was about to say, this feels less revengey, too. Because it's not. I bet Russell Wilson gets cheered.
I mean, oh, absolutely he will. Now, there's probably some who'd be like, hey, he forced his way. I mean, like the diehards. Mm-hmm. The diehards that are going to be like, you know, that are going to be buried in a Seahawks-themed coffin. Those guys.
Can I just say, I actually thought it was mildly entertaining. It was a preseason game, so it wasn't the same. But when the Buffalo Bills came to Chicago last year for week 3 of the preseason, I was on my honeymoon at the time, but I saw the video afterwards. We got back from, we were at, where were we that day? I think we were at Animal Kingdom or something in Disney. Get back to the hotel, I check the thing. I get an NFL app notification. I click it. Mitch Trubisky received a loud, I couldn't believe they sold out Soldier Field for a preseason game, a loud standing ovation when he took the field for the Buffalo Bills. Like, oh, we still love Mitch.
Just
imagine what Russell Wilson is going to get.
Russell Wilson is, in fact, the ownership and the people who are way too uptight in Seattle will probably like be checking signs since it's a Monday night game and say, nope, you're not putting, nope, we're not letting that in here. Stuff like we wish we had you instead of the poo-poo platter of Geno Smith.
May
and
I
Drew
say,
Locke.
Drew Locke is another one that I like to take credit for guessing his career path exactly on draft day.
Here's what's interesting. I actually still think Drew Locke still has something in him.
Oh, see, on draft day, I said, I watched, now I used to live in Missouri, and everyone around there is a Mizzou fan. Said, I watched Drew Locke. He's not an NFL quarterback.
I watched.
Said, that's him, a college quarterback right there.
I watched him once, and they beat the crap out of Josh Allen and the Wyoming Cowboys in Missouri. But then the next year, when Missouri came to Laramie, where Josh was not a sophomore and was a little more confident, Wyoming won that game, which was one of the funnest home openers I've ever been to, and I think made the list of a lot of the Missouri fans like one of their like worst games. And like they put it on there like Buffalo puts the wide right game. It's like, hey, give us a little credit. That was awesome.
So anyhow, I assume you're taking Seattle then.
No.
Dang it.
Denver for sure.
All right. So you and I have a lot riding on Miami versus New
England.
Yeah,
we do. Wow. Who knew?
Though we don't know what everyone else... We do now officially have, I believe, last checked. And this is before I've put the links out for this episode, but we have 10 challengers, it looks like.
By the way, I needed to talk to you about something. You put on Twitter up to $100.
Yeah, it's me paying for it this time.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, where are you getting this $100? I forgot you work for the post office. You're a rich man.
Oh, nothing says rolling in cash. Like,
hey, when I was a kid,
throwing the mail
that's
in
the job
slot,
you
baby.
Wanted. But I also thought to myself, where do I get a $95 hat?
That would probably be more in the t-shirt range, but I figured I'd put a limit on it since last time.
Oh no, you're right.
Someone threatened to beat us.
I figured
and was threatening a purchase of a what was it, a $10,000?
It was a Roger Federer autographed something.
It was a $10,000 hat.
Yeah.
And Dal went,
yeah, I'm not buying that.
Anyhow.
And Aaron was like actually concerned. I'm like, don't be concerned. I'm not buying that. Let's see you come all the way out here and force me to buy that. Well, I live in the Siberia of the northern hemisphere.
Although for $10,000, you're saying you wouldn't track someone down in rural Wyoming? For
do you know how many guns are out here? Bring it on.
I don't know. It's $10,000. You might want... You're like, you know what? I'll leave riddled with holes, but no. I'll leave with $10,000.
You won't be leaving. Wow. We went through the whole hour. Can you believe that?
So maybe just real quick. So speaking of, though, you know who I feel really bad for? My poor WNBA.
I don't.
Yeah. Speaking of people that make more money than me, but I feel quote-unquote bad for them, the Chicago Aces are going to a Game 5 to determine who goes to the WNBA Finals. They're taking on the Connecticut Sun. Still funny that that's a
yeah, named a after a
team.
Casino.
Anyhow, for whatever unknown, ungodly reason, the WNBA scheduled that game for 6 p.m. tip-off tomorrow. On ESPN2.
Why?
Do you happen to know of anything else that's going on TV tomorrow night at 6 p.m.?
Literally anything else.
So, yeah, the WNBA is deciding to go head-to-head with its Game 5 with the NFL opening game. You're not helping yourself. Just put it on Friday. No. Anyhow.
Unless they're just flat-out admitting that even they're going to watch the Buffalo game.
Buffalo and Rams while they're game. On the sideline.
Yeah, they're like in the box at the game watching the football game. I could see that happening.
But yeah, I'll obviously be checking scores, I guess, on my phone.
I will not.
You will not. But I like the Chicago Sky. I like watching
and
Candace
I don't
want to
make it sound like I don't like I'm some kind of sexist jerk.
Oh, which you are,
I'm
but
not.
You don't want to sound like it.
I'm not. But given the choice, give me a break.
Yeah, it's fairly one-sided, but yes, I'm going to be cheering hard for Chicago to have more points when my final score update pops up on my phone, because we got an NFL game. Last week, college football went really well for you guys. Wyoming won one of the games of the week.
What an... I ran out to the game.
Went not so great for me, but we'll get to that in a second.
Now, when people need to understand that, I don't think they quite recognize until you get out here. Wyoming, as a state, has one university. Literally. There is one four-year school in the entire state, and it's University of Wyoming, and mm-hmm. it's in Laramie. Well, we live on the western side of the state. We're 400 miles away. Technically, I'm closer to Boise State than I am to the University of Wyoming by about 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Utah State's 2 hours away. Idaho State's close. Anyway, but to be a Wyoming fan on this side of Wyoming... You have to be pretty diehard, and there are a lot of us, but it's an 800-mile round trip to go over and watch the Cowboys. And so to have them go over, and that game was just absolutely bananas, 40-37, double overtime, and they pull it out. It was crazy. It was fun, and gave us a little more hope after they just were shellacked by Illinois the week before.
Speaking of Illinois, I don't know if you saw it.
I saw the score.
Did you see the clip of the most obvious touchdown catch in the history of football, called an incomplete pass?
I guess I missed that.
Reviewed, so the cherry on top, this was right before the half, Illinois lobs the ball to the end zone, fade route, catches it, receiver pins it to his chest, he's got the DB's arm in his chest too, lands, skids about 3 yards, starts getting up, and the DB rips the ball out. The receiver goes, touchdown, yeah. The referee says, no, incomplete. Everyone just stares. They go to review. Both announcers. Yeah, this one's... and they're laughing. Like, yeah, he slides about 3 yards with that ball completely controlled. This one's going to be a quick review. They get Dean Blandino in there. The rules analyst, former head of officiating for the NFL, says, yeah, so this one, I think because the ref didn't have a great angle on it, and then he saw it come out at the end, is why he initially ruled it incomplete. But this is going to be a quick review. That's clearly a catch.
Yeah.
He goes to the ground. He completes it through the process of hitting the ground. He slides about 3 yards. Touchdown, Illinois. They come out. They review it. Call on the field stands incomplete. One of the announcers accidentally lets out a holy crap. Like, you could tell, like, at the second half of crap, he, like, covered his mouth up. Like, you could tell. He was caught so off guard, he accidentally let something slip out of his mouth.
I've cheered for Wyoming long enough that I've seen them get screwed on calls like this. There was a fumble. They're going into the end zone at Air Force years ago, and it was not a fumble. Air Force picked it up, ran it all the way 99 yards for a touchdown, and Wyoming basically let him because it's like, well, he was down. That stood, and Wyoming lost the game. So you cannot count on refs to do anything as far as they'll get it right at the end.
So just so we're clear, Illinois had to kick a field goal instead.
And they lost by...
So that cost them 4 points.
And they lost by
3. They lost by 3.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting, just a sidebar, since Wyoming played Illinois the week before. So the quarterback for Indiana threw for 330 yards, which is exactly 11 times the amount of yards Wyoming's quarterback threw against Illinois the week before. So you're like, oh, wow, Wyoming's quarterback must not be good, which against Illinois, he was not. Against Tulsa, comes home, he's the Mountain West Conference player, offensive player of the week. He completed 75-80% of his passes, had 240 yards, 2 touchdowns. He ran for 50 yards, and it was just, he looked good. He looked really good, but it was hard not to see that and go, well, I wonder if we could have had a better showing against Illinois.
Well, I will say, if Illinois is going to do anything good this year, they are going to have one of the better defenses in the Big Ten. Their offense is still up in the air.
Well, then the Indiana quarterback might be legit, because he torched them.
Yes, although they were incredibly injured throughout that game.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Anyhow, so Illinois lost on a... We're going to be polite and say controversial call in the end zone. Then Notre Dame came out. I joked to my friends.
They were winning for a little while.
I said, we should hang a banner at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. Was beating Ohio State at halftime.
Led 10-7.
They ended up losing. I will say, despite the loss, and despite the fact that probably boots them from the playoffs, I was at least impressed with the showing. I thought the defense looked really good against the best offense statistically in college football over the last four years.
It's funny you bring that up, because same thing happened years ago. Wyoming hosted Texas. Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy and the Texas Longhorns come into Laramie. They bring in 5,000 extra seats, and they sold them all out because I had no idea Texas people were that crazy. And anyway, Wyoming blocks a punt? Yeah, they blocked a punt and ran in for a touchdown. And they were leading 10-3 or 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. And Wyoming fans remember, it's like, hey, remember when we were beating Texas?
But anyhow, yeah, so they lost by 11, 21-10 the final score. And the culprit, this is the second year in a row I'm going to have the exact same complaint about Notre Dame. We're starting a quarterback that isn't Drew Pine with a perfectly good Drew Pine sitting right there on our bench, who's clearly better. Jack Cohen was awful last year, and I hate him. This year we have Tyler Buckner, a sophomore. Drew Pine is also a sophomore. Buckner was a 5-star recruit, so he has to get first. He can't throw! He's a great runner. Don't get me wrong. He has that skill set. He cannot throw the football. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And stop starting Tyler Buckner.
And last thing here, but how pleased are you what happened to Chip Kelly?
Brian Kelly, sorry. So on Sunday night... My week got a little bit better.
He faked a southern accent. He danced with his recruits.
Just to lose to Florida State.
And then they get beat by Florida State.
On a blocked extra point.
It's awesome. Anyway, I knew you would like that.
Oh.
See? Oh, really, life's not all so bad.
Much as, like, occasionally, what that felt like, and LSU legitimately used to be one of my favorite schools
I liked
to side root for.
When Ed Orgeron was there, I thought he did a great job.
My whole reason for my Joe Burrow love was that I found him at LSU.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was the whole bit where I started lobbying for the Bears to get him, but then he wouldn't stop dominating, so he kept rising and rising until he was number one overall. And he felt like my pet project at that point. I'm like, well, I jumped on the Joe Burrow wagon 1 week into their first practice game. So I guess Joe Burrow is my dude now. I like LSU. Now I don't. Now yeah, they are my either. Devil.
It was kind of funny, though, because somebody went back and talked to Ed Orgeron. I guess it came out that they paid him $17.1 million to go away. And he was quoted when they told him that, he said, "What time do you want me to leave, and what door do you want me to use?" Which I thought was hilarious. Give me my $17 million and kiss my butt.
So, yeah, I likened it a little bit to, and I expect this will be how I have to get through a lot of weeks this year because the Bears are in the middle of a rebuilding phase. The Bears could perhaps lose to the 49ers, a very good team, at noon. And I'll say, "Oh, I have the sad." And then 3 o'clock will come around. And if Minnesota beats Green Bay, my mood will improve drastically.
You spend some time with that child of yours and watch some football. By the way, the hat has come. I just haven't picked it up yet. Ironically, it's sitting at the post office and has been for several days. All right, that's got to be it for us.
All right. Well,
hold on, because as you go out there in the world, remember to be nice. But when you're here, remember...
I was not a sportsman like.
And remember to catch us on YouTube, on Spotify, and at svinews.com/podcasts every Wednesday. See you all next time.